Kyle Malin. He's back from vacation. Do you feel rested and ready to go, Kyle, or do you need more time?
Oh, God, I can always use more time, man. I could use another week, 2 weeks. Couldn't we all, though, really?
Yeah, we could. Now, Kyle is dropping his kids off to daycare, I think, right?
Oh yeah. It's that time of day.
Well, you know what? I probably should have been a little bit more courteous and allowed you time to do that. I've had to do that. I've had to change diapers while I was doing an interview. I've had to shut bathroom doors when little boys are trying to go tinkle and I'm trying to do a radio show. You know, kids are kids, Kyle.
Oh yeah, but they're wonderful. What would we do without them?
All right, let's keep this brief because I know you're going to try and do many things here. You're going to multitask here. I see on the MERS newsletter that the top story is that Pete Hoekstra is thinking about running against Debbie Stabenow for United States Senator again. I thought he had put this to bed.
Well, he did put it to bed, but you know what happened is the Republicans just couldn't get a good candidate. And there's some folks out there who are talking about it, but we're talking about a tier one candidate. I mean, somebody who could really enter the race, has got some name recognition, has got some instant pop, somebody who's going to excite people to get out and vote. I mean, right now the field of candidates is really, really weak. You know, you got Clark Durant thinking about it. I think he ran back in the 90s, and then you've got the drain commissioner from Oakland County. John McCullough, that's not really going to get it done. Gary Glenn is thinking about it from the Family Forum. I mean, that's gonna get the people who don't like homosexuals out to vote, and that's about it. It's just not a very inspiring class. Now you get Pete Hoekstra in the race, and all of a sudden things get interesting for Republicans because they've got somebody who's got some statewide name recognition, has been in Congress, somebody who can really will get people excited up and down the ballot to get to the polls and vote in 2012.
Does it matter that he ran for governor and failed? Does he start looking like the type of guy who just keeps running just to win?
No, I don't think so because, you know, he's only lost one race. I mean, that was one race. It was 2 years ago. It was a very competitive race. He finished second. He didn't come out of that looking bad. You know, I know that there were some negative ads run against him and whatnot, but you know, what can you negatively say about Pete Hoekstra? I mean, as far as the person, I mean, he's a stand-up guy. He had a very good career in Congress, got a lot of things done. He always came back to the district. You know, he was very frugal with the money. I mean, you might not like his politics and whatnot, and that may be why you'd not vote for him, but you're not going to vote for him because you don't like who he is. And Pete's just a stand-up guy. He's got great name recognition. And the grassroots like him. I think that he would be somebody that Debbie Stabenow would have to run a real race against.
Well, as she has millions of dollars in the coffers, she's much like Mike Rogers, just hasn't been able to find anyone of name, of note to run against her. But there's definitely enough fodder there for a Republican.
Well, and here's the, you mentioned money, and that's the big thing here. Now, why would Pete Hoekstra say that he wasn't going to do it in April, and now he's going to do it in July? Well, I think now the Republicans are a bit desperate. They're looking at the field to say, hey, we're not going to have anybody up there who's going to generate any money from the national Republican Party. And, you know, if Pete Hoekstra is now hearing from Washington, D.C., from the U.S. Senate Congressional Committee, hey, you know, we'll put in some money to your race. Now, all of a sudden, things can get really interesting. And then, you know, the other thing is, too, you got to remember that a lot of these races these days now are funded with these third-party groups, you know, Americans for Apple Pie and the Statue of Liberty and stuff like that. You know, these groups, you know, nobody knows who they are, but they're funded by big-pocket donors who want to rename Anonymous. And they pour millions of dollars into the race. I mean, just look at the last Mark Schauer, Tim Walbert race. I mean, the airways are just filled with that kind of spending, and that's what we're going to get. That kind of money isn't going to come if you got Pete Kanachi on the ballot. I mean, it's just not. You get Pete Hoekstra on the ballot, now all of a sudden we're talking.
You also have on the newsletter a story that Michigan State is probably in tuition compliance. It's a story we covered. Michigan State isn't talking a lot about this. It's been reported that the information out there, there was some skewing of information out.
Yeah, you know, Rick Snyder has got this formula out there that if you don't raise tuition over 7%, you can get a little extra money if you're a state university. And there's some question as to when that starts. I mean, does that mean you didn't raise tuition above 7% starting with the fall, last fall of 2010, or does that mean the summer of 2010? Because Michigan State raised this tuition the summer of 2010, but not the fall. You know what I mean? So there's a little bit of question as to whether they comply or not. And, that's just the question that's going to have to be solved with the budget director, John Nixon. And, MSU will have something to say about it as well. But, it's a little bit of a, fudging of the numbers with a cap there on how much we're going to allow Michigan State to raise their tuition.
Kyle Malin is the editor of the MIRS newsletter, MIRSnews.com. Go there, sign up if you want to know what's going on at the state capitol. Kyle, thanks so much. Welcome home.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, Tony.